Yeah, let me just tell you one other thing that happened in the interim period. In 1964, I would say the beginning of it was 1963 in December, and there was a paper by a guy named Arnold Bell, and I forget the other names in the paper, but it was a pulsed mercury ion laser,
mm-hmm.
probably published in Applied Physics Letters.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first of the ion lasers. And a friend of mine from Hughes Aircraft Company and I attended an EBS meeting in New York,
mm-hmm.
you know, in preparation for one of the device research conferences. And this was in early 1964. And we talked about this device on the way back to the past subway station
mm-hmm.
from 47th Street or wherever. And I said, I'm not interested in that at all. That's a pulse device that's not useful for communication purposes. I'm strictly CW guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he said, well, what do you think is causing it to happen? I mean, what's the mechanism and so on? So I proposed an experiment the bill that instead of helium, he put argon in the tube
mm-hmm.
with the mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through what would happen with argon versus what would happen with helium and what the implications would be for the mechanism and so on. And so he did that experiment and he discovered that the argon itself would laze in a pulse wave.
Mm-hmm.
So the next meeting, the same meeting, you know, for the next in the series, we met again in New York, and I said, well, what ever happened with that experiment? He says, guess what? The argon lasers. There's an argon ion laser.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me all about it, and I looked at the data, and I said, you know what? That's going to go CW.
Mm.
And he says, I kind of think so myself. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go back to Murray Hill, and you go back to Malibu, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll see what happens. And so I had concluded that the key to making that happen was a very small diameter discharge tube,
mm-hmm.
whereas the pulse device is a long, big diameter tube, tremendous current, you know, for short periods of time. But I had experience making a miniature helium neon laser for a single frequency. So for me, that was easy.
Mm-hmm.
And Bell Labs, because I had built all these lasers for these people and started the reliability program, they gave me an incredible amount of support. So I had glass shops, quartz shops,
mm-hmm.
mirror shops. You know, I could do anything I wanted. I had it all, you know, under my thumb. And so I went back, and the next day, you know, we designed the tube, gave it to the quartz people, and 2 or 3 days later, we had the tube, we had the mirrors. I had figured out I needed high current, I got an old magnet supply,
mm-hmm.
and bang, it worked as soon as we turned it on,
mm-hmm.
you know, CW.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there were problems with gas pumping and so on, and we figured what, you know, went back to the old German literature, you know, 50 or 100 years earlier and found out how you deal with that and solve the gas pumping problems and all the other problems associated with that laser. And then called Bill and asked him how he was doing. And he still hadn't gotten it to go to CW.
Mm-hmm.
And so we told him what to do and so on. And then he tried some of the other noble gases. And eventually we published a paper in Applied Physics Letters in May of 1964 on the first CW argon ion laser.
Huh.
And that was very exhilarating.